Hey folks, welcome to Heartline. I'm Rita Schulte. I'm a licensed therapist in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area, and I'm passionate about matters of the heart. So the idea behind the podcast is simple. I want to check the pulse on your heart by taking a look at some of the cutting-edge issues that are affecting you and the people around you, and have you consider, how in the world is all this mess called life affecting your heart? To help stir things up, we're going to be talking to some of the leading professionals in the Christian counseling and literary industry, as well as hosting discussions with real people who are struggling with real life issues. If you want to know a little bit about me, you can check out my website at siftedaswheat.com, where you can ask questions, find out about my book, listen to other podcasts, or request to be a guest on the show. So let's get going on this journey of the heart. My guest today is Dr. Dina Cabrera. She's a licensed psychotherapist in the state of Arizona and a certified eating disorder specialist. She's been on staff at Ramuda Ranch Treatment Centers for over 11 years. Dr. Cabrera is an expert in the psychodiagnostic assessment and treatment of eating disorders, and she's been involved in program development, staff training, and supervision in the clinical practice of eating disorders throughout the Ramuda Ranch system. She's published journal articles, magazine articles, and presented nationally at more than 50 conferences focusing on eating disorders and other mental health problems. She's been interviewed as an eating disorder expert on national TV, radio, and in multiple newspapers, including Fox, The Morning Show, Parenting Magazine, Parents Magazine, Health and Living, and Arizona Republic. She's co-authored chapters in Eating Disorders, A Handbook of Christian Treatment. To talk with Dr. Cabrera or to contact Ramuda Ranch, you can do that at ramudaranch.com or call their toll-free number at 1-800-445-1900. Dr. Cabrera, welcome to Heartline.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Sure. Eating disorders are a broad subject, and so I've decided to devote the next several programs to discussing different topics as they relate to eating disorders and their treatment. Eating disorders represent a significant problem in our culture today. I know I'm seeing an increasing rise in my client population, especially with adolescents. I was even reading an article a couple days ago from the UK where they're seeing kids as young as 6 years old struggling with eating disorders and body image issues. And this is really heartbreaking. And it leads us into our topic today, mothers with eating disorders. How does all this affect our kids? So I guess I'm wondering, Dina, if you could talk a little bit about what sociocultural pressures are contributing to the rise of eating disorders for women and young girls. We all seem to be inundated with messages from the internet, with TV, music industry, the fashion industry, magazines that tell us we're not okay unless we have a flatter stomach, a firmer butt, or we lose 10 pounds. Is all this really having that big of an impact on moms? And then how's that being projected onto their kids?
Sure. Well, I think, first of all, you know, it's important for listeners to understand and those struggling to understand that eating disorders are extremely complex, and there's not one causal factor that, you know, contributes to an eating disorder. It's a global issue, and there's so many influencing factors with regard to, you know, why someone develops an eating disorder. And I think that's the most important thing to understand, because oftentimes we will, you know, a lot of, you know, people will blame the media, and we do have that pressure in terms of looking a certain way and what images that we see every day. But when it comes to, you know, true diagnosable eating disorders, there's so much more that is, you know, contributing to that. But, you know, to answer your question, we are, you know, growing up today with poor body dissatisfaction and issues with feeling good about ourselves and our, you know, self-esteem is compromised. And I do believe that the media does obviously have some play into that. So So with regard to mothers, I think, you know, we are given messages, you know, even from the moment we become pregnant, before we're mothers, you know, or as young children, we see these, you know, images of what beauty looks like, what even health looks like. I mean, we have a narrow image and narrow template of what health looks like. And we look to these as guides of what we're supposed to look like. And then when we fail, not thinking sometimes that maybe there should be a broader definition of beauty, a broader definition of what health is. And so from a very young age, if we grow up with these messages of what we're supposed to look like and then we don't measure up, I think that, you know, can affect us, you know, from young age. You know, what started me, I'll tell you, I began, you know, really focusing on mothers because of my experience, you know, with struggling as an adolescent and then in college. But then when I became a mother, it became even more pressure because I'm not supposed to look like a mother. You know, like some people say, wow, I can't believe you've had four children. I'm not supposed to look like a mother. You know, so what messages are we hearing in our society about what we're supposed to look like? When we see celebrities who, after, you know, 4 weeks of having a baby, you know, look like, you know, thick, thin models, or, you know, they've lost the baby weight. You know, we see all those messages, and then we somehow feel less than if we don't look like that, not knowing, you know, what goes behind those, you know, those celebrities, what's all and all that.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of moms, and I've had this in my practice, have issues with food who wouldn't be classified as either anorexic or bulimic, but more the EDNOS category, you know, eating disorder not otherwise specified.
Sure.
These folks are always on a diet. They're always talking about body dissatisfaction. They're always focused on how they look. How do we help these moms raise their own awareness of their issue?
Right, and that's exactly what I, you know, when I started working, when I had my kids and started working with those with eating disorders, I realized that even though it's so important to be aware of these issues for our children's sake, but for our own sake, because we get trapped into that, you know, negative cycle, negative self-esteem, even depression, because we are, you know, off our diet once again, or not losing the weight, or struggling with the yo-yo, you know, weight gain, weight loss. And so one thing that I really think is first and foremost is to begin thinking about, you know, what does health look like for you? We really want to get people back into balance, variety, and moderation, and understand what is your definition of what health looks like and what is your definition of what you should look like. Because oftentimes we have these delusional, you know, ideas of what we should look like because we compare ourselves to those in magazines or in the media. And so we have to step back and say, you know, I want to be healthy for me because I want to be more connected to my body. And in that relationship with yourself, you most of the time, you'll have a better relationship with your children. So it starts with you, with the person.
It starts with noticing. You've got to notice how this stuff impacts you personally. And for some people, I mean, I collect a whole ton of magazines, from Shape magazine to Prevention magazine to People magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And even the magazines like Prevention have, you know, for how do you lose 10 pounds, how to be plastic surgery, how to have a firmer butt, all of that stuff. And maybe for some folks that's not a real big deal to see that or to read those articles. But maybe for some folks it is. And so I think you have to notice how these things are impacting you particularly. And maybe just draw some boundaries there. Maybe I don't need to be looking at that and pouring myself into that as much if it's going to trigger me.
Yeah, there's so many, yeah, exactly. I think there's so many things that we have to guard our eyes and our heart against that. You know, if these are triggering us, like you said, then don't buy the magazines. And even if you don't think they are, they, you know, it's kind of that subliminal messages, you know, we all hear about that, that we're still not okay the way we look. And instead, you know, and that, you know, even if you have a magazine, you know, laying around, like I remember I bought a magazine and my daughter saw it. It was the one that on the cover it said something about look at my new body. And I don't remember what celebrity it was. And again, it's all, and it was, of course, a sculpted, you know, perfect, you know, body in her bikini. And again, that's sending a message of, you know, what's valued in our society, what is memorized and what test, and how you need to be accepted. And we want to reverse that, those messages. We want to reverse those messages. And parents themselves have to look at, okay, what comments are you making about other people's bodies and what comments are you making about yourself? Because if you're making comments about yourself, oh, I hate my hips, well, then what is your children, you know, daughter or son, thinking about, you know, his or own body based on the comments you're making about your own? So we have to watch those comments as well. And then, you know, and say positive things about yourself. Wow, I love my legs. You know, today I went for a nice walk and it felt so good. Or, you know, I love my arms. You know, I can hug you with my arms. And they, you know, they're for a purpose. So form over function. I mean, function over form.
What I'm hearing you say is moving into a place of acceptance.
Yes.
That's really huge for us. We are flawed in our bodies. None of us, I mean, even they don't look like that. They're airbrushed or whatever they do to them. But if we're not going to use this world standard as a benchmark for our adequacy, our acceptance, our value and worth, then we need to switch that around and say, okay, well, what are we going to use? Well, we want to teach moms. We want to teach kids. I want to teach my kids that your value and worth is centered in who you are in Christ.
Right.
And begin to build that up.
It's exactly right. That's my goal at Ramuda Ranch, is to help patients develop their identity apart from and separate from weight, shape, you know, body image, you know, what they look like, you know, if they're attractive or not attractive, and to have that relationship with God first and foremost. And that's where their value comes from. That's where their worth comes from, not in what they look like or how much they weigh. And, you know, and that's what I stress. Before you are a mother, you know, you're a woman first. You're a child of God first. And, you know, then you become a woman. And you must not forget self-care. I think what we're talking about here is self-care, having time to, for themselves, to have that quiet time with God, or, you know, have that moment where they're able just to kind of step back from it all and take care of themselves and look at, where are you out of balance? Are you out of balance? You know, and it's a biopsychosocial spiritual perspective of the way I say, you know, biologically, are you feeling depressed? Okay, what can we do to help, you know, get you in balance there? Spiritually, do you need to, you know, have more time with God? You know, physically, do you need to exercise more? Are you out of balance there? Food, are you eating, you know, appropriately? Once you get yourself in balance, then you begin looking at, okay, where can I send a good message? Where can I work on balance in my home? So, for example, maybe their food preparation. You know, it's very hard with those who struggle with eating, if they're overeating or undereating or body image issue. Food preparation might be an issue in the home. You know, how can you develop more healthier habits? Also, managing children, playing with children. Sometimes if we're all consumed with our body image issues, or we're over-exercising, or we're focused on our weight, maybe we're not connecting, having that connection with our children. So where in that area do we need to change and look at different ways of approaching things? So you're right. It starts with awareness. Then you say, okay, well, where am I out of balance, and where can I start making small changes toward having a healthier perspective in the home? So that's where we kind of have to, and then you just take it one step at a time.
Mm-hmm. So what kinds of things on a practical level do you see moms doing to communicate these faulty messages? I mean, we've talked about, you know, what they say, always talking about, I'm fat, or I need to watch my weight. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, I used to always say, because I had, you know, really young, I got high cholesterol, and I was always exercising and trying to eat right because I was trying to be healthy. And, I mean, I would say, oh, Mom, my fat's in my arteries. But I talked about it because I was more concerned not about my body image but about my, you know, health.
Mm-hmm.
So I know moms are probably doing that and projecting that onto their kids. What other things do you see that they're doing that you can help them notice?
That is negative in terms of, I think one of the things that comes to mind is we want to talk to our kids about, you know, the need for help, you know, just balance, variety, and moderation in terms of our approach to food, you know, not being extreme in one way or the other. Like, we're always going to eat, you know, fruits and vegetables because, you know, that is what health is. But to have a balanced approach to food, you know, yeah, sometimes we might have Doritos, you know, but not all the time. You know, we're going to balance it out and have, you know, more healthier choices. Oftentimes I see, you know, parents really struggle with, you know, lack of exercise, and then maybe children have lack of exercise, or the other, you know, maybe they're fine in their exercise, but, you know, there's an issue with different things like, you know, eating on the run or that kind of thing. I think you just have to kind of know that your family and be able to sit down with a dietitian or even a therapist and say, you know, I feel like I'm not providing healthier meals. We're eating out a lot. We're eating on the run. We're not having, you know, the time to make food. So how can I change my schedule and sit down and, you know, work some of these things out, like having family meals together? Mm-hmm. You know, the research shows, everybody, you know, mostly knows that the research shows that that is more valuable and more powerful to sit down with a family than the, you know, together and eat a meal than anything that you can do. I mean, then, you know, it's really important to do that. So, you know, that's kind of some steps that you can take.
And on the flip side, too, you have, I know I had some moms that have gone the other route. They are constantly talking to their kids about, well, you need to be exercising. You need to, you know, should you eat that? You really shouldn't eat that.
Yeah, those are comments that are no-nos. We never talk about food, especially while we're eating. You know, are you sure you want enough? Are you sure you want seconds? You know, haven't you had enough? Those are the kind of things that we want to avoid because that just shames children.
Absolutely. And what I see a lot of times happening with that is that the kid's just going to go the other way.
Right.
Like, you're not going to put your stuff on me. I'm going to eat what I want. And if I want to be 10, 15, 20 pounds overweight, that's what I'm going to do.
Right, and they get angry, and they get frustrated, and they get resentful. And so that's
absolutely
the important thing, is to remember in the home, to have that, you know, kind of, you know, you want to teach them about the importance of calorie. You know, for example, my daughter says, you know, for snack, just this morning, she says, I want to take these Cheetos to snack. Now, this is, you know, I said, I understand that you like those Cheetos, and they're delicious, but if you want energy, if you want to feel good and be able to, you know, function the rest of the afternoon, my suggestion is you choose a healthier snack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a snack that has more energy. And I teach her about more energy, more, you know, nutrients, you know, so that you'll feel better, because that, yeah, you'll feel, you know, a little bit full afterwards, but it's not going to sustain you. It doesn't have the appropriate or nutrient energy that you might need. You know, now she's 10, so I have to be careful how I talk to, you know, and so that's the kind of thing. I don't say no, you can have that, but I talk about balance or variety. You know, or having a moderation of food,
yeah.
Because that's the healthier approach to food. I don't ban any food. I don't say no, you can't have sugar. We really use a balanced approach,
and I think critical in talking with our kids.
Yes,
critical in talking with our kids. What do you think all of this is doing to the identity development of our kids and to youth in general? All of this preoccupation with body image and eating disorders, and having kids, you know, like that article I mentioned earlier, 6 years old, and they're developing eating disorders and body image distortions.
Well, I think it's so many things. I think we're, first of all, I think we become objectified in this, you know, in our identity, like we're just things, or we're turning people into objects. And, you know, people don't realize that there are terrible consequences when people become things. We lose our value, we lose our purpose, we lose our sense of self. And I think, you know, media influence, media magazines, whatever, websites that, you know, focus on, you know, just the advertisements. When you get on the website, sometimes there's so negative that you're not okay who you are, and that leads to depression. And research shows that those children who are struggling with depression or even just not even fully depressed or sad or anxious because of the way they look, because they're not fitting in, because they're not accepted, that leads them to engage in these behaviors that are self-destructive, whether it be eating disorder behaviors or self-injury or anxiety. And so we kind of grow up feeling like, you know, we're not okay who we are. And I think that really warps our relationships with our, obviously ourselves, but then with others, because we can't, we grow up feeling like, wow, I can't be who I am. Who am I? You know, so they start developing all those questions. And so then they start looking for those who are going to accept them, or they're going to cling on to people who that may not be so positive. It may be negative influences. And just so that they can, you know, feel accepted. And so I think that that's why we have to really look at what messages we're sending in the home, what we expose our children to, and what we say to them and about ourselves and about others. Even comments about if we see a celebrity on TV and say, wow, she must have lost 40 pounds. She looks so good. We have to be careful about those, because what are you saying about, you know, her before?
Yeah.
That she didn't look well. So that kind of thing. And then, you know, just challenging beliefs about, you know, media literacy. You know, I told my daughter, we were looking at this girl who had this beautiful hair, and she's like, oh, she had just got her hair cut, and she was sad that she cut it so short. And she's like, oh, I want hair like that. And I said, well, you know, she really doesn't have that long hair like that. She, you know, her hair really doesn't look like that. And we talked about why. She probably has extensions. She probably, the lighting, the fan that's on her, you know. We talk about what goes on behind these, you know, the scenes.
Yeah, and I think that's powerful what you're saying, because what you're doing is engaging your daughter in conversation about all of this stuff. Use these things as opportunities. When I bring these magazine articles in to show the young girls, I ask them about it. What do you think about this? Use it as an opportunity to ground them in the truth of who they are in Christ. Do you want to be on this performance treadmill over here, where you're going to constantly be striving and trying to be perfect and look perfect and focus on your weight and your eating for the rest of your life? Or do you want to think more about who God says you are?
Yes, yes. And that's what we keep going back to the scripture, keep going back to, you know, the value of why, the purpose and value of why God made you. And then we take action on that. You know,
so how do you do that? How do we teach kids some practical ways about finding their identity in Christ? I mean, it's great. You know, if they're Christians, that's fine. They may be open to that. If not...
Right. Well, I think getting outside of themselves, what I find, is very powerful. Doing for others, being there for others. Now, that can be taken to the extreme, too. Everything can, of course. But really, you know, stepping out and saying, for example, we, like, at different charities, like, wow, you know, we really, you know, doing spring cleaning and cleaning out our closets, and we're going to give these clothes to this shelter because it's going to really help kids. And so you're giving of yourself. And you're finding value in other things besides what you look like by giving, doing, and being there for others and pointing that out, getting them involved in different community service projects, you know, even if it's at the YMCA and they're doing a little food drive. You know, again, you're showing that there's other purpose besides, and finding value. It feels good to give, or it feels good to do for others.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I draw this little circle. I call it the pie of life. And I tell them when they come in, most of their pie says eating disorder.
Right.
Patient with that, your body image. How can we carve this pie up with some other slices that'll take the focus off this and broaden your perspective a little bit? Just what you're saying.
Yeah.
Giving, social relationships. Because, you know, with eating disorders, sometimes their world gets narrow. All kinds of going on with that. It's a multifaceted thing, like you said. So we want to help carve up those slices and get them to branch out more, focus off themselves. The eating disorder voice may still be there, but it'll be a much smaller piece of the pie than perhaps when they came in for treatment.
Yes, exactly. And so it's different ways of connecting with yourself and connecting with others, other than, again, what you look like. So I think that's, yeah, exactly right. And so, you know, just going back to mothers, the same thing applies for mothers. It's not just for children. It's for all of us who, you know, are raising our children, you know, to be, you know, more connected with themselves and more others and to be good people. But we want that for ourselves as well.
Absolutely. So that may mean, you know, being accountable in a group with a trusted friend. It may be, like you said, getting along with God and really being honest about the issues in your heart. Lots of things. I mean, we could talk all day about this, but I know we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us today. And if anybody's interested in talking more to Dina, again, RamutaRanch.com or 1-800-445-1900. Dina, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
Okay, I hope you'll come back and join us again.
I will. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, that's a wrap for today. Tune in next week as we continue to talk about eating disorders with my guest, Constant Rhodes. Remember to consider how this topic may be affecting you or someone you care about. It's your heart. Keep it alive by checking the pulse.
If you're a mom struggling with eating disorders or body image issues, or you have a child who has an eating disorder, you may want to contact a professional counselor for help. If you want more information on eating disorders, you can go to the Ramuta Ranch website or go to the National Eating Disorder Association website, where you can read articles, get support, find out more about eating disorder programs, and download the resources.
I had a big hole in my heart, and I was looking. I was looking everywhere.
That's a wrap for our show today. Thanks so much for joining us. And remember, it's your heart. Keep it alive. Check the pulse.